Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the first season of Superman and Lois. This is the CW-DC show that spins out of both Supergirl and kind of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I would more say Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I would too, because, and I get COVID, the pandemic, and filming limitations and stuff like that, but out of the 15 episodes this season, there was really only one that had a firm connection to the rest of the Arrowverse. And that was when Diggle shows up.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of times, particularly in the finale, where it's like, how does Kara not get pulled in?
Well, and the Fortress of Solitude looks different than it looks in Supergirl.
Well, and that was kind of increased by the fact that they did 6 or 7 episodes of Superman and Lois, paused, and I forget if it was a COVID issue or why they paused, aired 6 or 7 issues of Supergirl, and then finished another batch of Superman and Lois, but then held 2 for later. So seeing the Fortress, Superman's Fortress in Supergirl, and seeing Superman or Clark's Fortress here, and them not matching, was a little weird.
Yeah.
And just kind of not explained.
Well, and from the moment the pilot started, I wanted a comment tying back into Crisis and acknowledging that on Supergirl, when we last saw Superman and Lois, they just had a baby that was a few months old.
Yeah, they kind of just ignored that entirely and figured, let's not confuse new viewers of the show, which I understand and kind of agree with.
I get it to an extent, but it was just kind of wavy hands. They have, you know, high school twins.
Well, given that we had seen them in Supergirl, on Argo City and all that stuff, to have that as just gone from Crisis, and we got flashbacks over the course of the season to establish the backstory in this timeline of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they played fair. It made sense. But there does come a point where, sure, you may not be able to get the actors from other shows over, but to not even name drop was just odd.
It felt very isolated as a show.
Yeah, and I get the desire to have the show stand on its own, particularly over the first season. But given this Superman and Lois came out of Supergirl and, by extension, Crisis on Infinite Earths, to not really acknowledge that for the most part, it floored me. And this was a really good show.
It was. I mean, I wasn't expecting quite so much of the Friday Night Lights aspect, but I got into it. And they played well in terms of the, you know, you're a teenager discovering you have powers, but you just want to be one of the guys on the football team. And so kind of learning to modulate the strength and control things so that you fit in. It was a different aspect of that trying to fit in with the guys in high school story that we've seen so often.
Well, and I thought they did a good job in the pilot establishing kind of the status quo for Jonathan and Jordan.
Yeah.
That when pretty much in the pilot, they're moved to Smallville, and that status quo is kind of reversed for the two of them.
Yeah.
I thought that was surprisingly well done. Where I thought they made, I'm going to say a misstep, but a calculated choice that I don't agree with, maybe the more diplomatic way, was when they introduced this Captain Luthor. And he was referred to that for the first 6 or so episodes he was in or whatnot. And it wasn't until a little later that it became clear and then stated that he was John Henry Irons' Steel.
Yeah.
And I thought pitching him as an alternate universe Luthor when you backpedal and he's not, I thought that was a cheap ploy for attention.
Yeah.
And he was a great character.
I really think they did so beautifully with that character that 2-3 seasons down the line, he could spin out with his own show.
Oh, absolutely. And if they don't do that as some of these other shows end, I think they've missed an opportunity. Mm-hmm.
And I say that far down the line, not just because they left him well situated to be a part of season two, but because I really think right now he's adding something really good to this dynamic, and I would hate for him to be pulled out too soon.
Yeah. Well, and this show is kind of unique in the Arrowverse stuff of not having kind of the guy in the chair, or woman in the chair in Felicity's case, who's on the comms, who's walking through everything and whatnot.
Yeah, the overwatch.
So having that kind of not here and having essentially another hero right off the bat for the most part, mm-hmm. or, you know, halfway through the season, I thought made sense.
Well, at first he was a hero in his own eyes, and it took him a while to prove to the audience he was a hero.
Well, he was set up as an antagonist.
Yeah.
And once we realized why he was doing that, and they gave a really good arc for him over mm-hmm. the course of the season, and a believable one for him and his relationship with Superman and such. And it's a fundamentally different origin than the character had in the comics. Because in the comics, he was basically a replacement Superman.
Mm.
And again, different setup here than in the comics. I get going a different way and whatnot. And I was okay with, okay, he's from another world, and that whole backstory, which I thought they did well with. But I was more displeased that they set him up to, oh, he's Luthor, when he's yeah. not. But the other character they did a huge change to was Morgan Edge.
Mm.
Now, they'd already had Morgan Edge over in Supergirl. That was pre-Crisis. They've redone the timeline, so okay, fair to recast. Same with General Lane and stuff. But with Morgan Edge, having him turn out to be Kryptonian, and a Kryptonian I didn't recognize, not that I've looked up the name or whatever, it basically already got the just how many people survived Krypton kind of thing going. Because
mm-hmm.
Argo City's still out there, and over in Supergirl, and here, through the Eradicator and stuff, which is another thing that came out of the death of Superman, which is around the time Steel came about, you know, having the main villains of this season be Kryptonians.
Yeah.
I thought was a very interesting choice.
What I liked was how they challenged Superman to acknowledge and deal with the fact that the villains were Kryptonians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you afraid people will now be afraid of you? Because that was very socially relevant to the moment we're living in.
Well, and they had not only dealt with that at the end, but earlier on, where there are weapons against Superman and all yeah. those kinds of things. They had that as a subcurrent throughout the season.
Well, and they did do a very good quandary of, should there be weapons? They're capable of taking down Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those weapons basically turn out to work against the powers for good, because they disable Superman when they need Superman to yeah. defend them.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly it's the powers for good. They're saying, maybe we need to scrap all these. But it's Superman saying, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not infallible. There does need to be a check and balance. So it was really, I want to say, a good conversation, but that tells you how well it was done.
Yeah, I just thought it was odd to never really have, other than the one episode with John Diggle guest starring, Argus kind of in play.
Yeah.
Or the DOA from Supergirl and such. And that just comes down to, this felt like it was in a little bit of a vacuum
mm-hmm.
compared to the other shows. And it does need to stand on its own, and it did. But in that larger picture, it just felt a little odd. Because some of the things they were doing here with the government's got Kryptonian weapons and such is really weird in the light of how Superman interacted with the Martian Manhunter and Supergirl with all the Kryptonian or Kryptonite weapons that the DOA had. So, DOE, whatever it is. So some of the decisions they made, it worked well as its own show, but just like DC Comics with Crisis had a, you know, how do we get everything back in alignment kind of a deal, they're having a little bit of that here in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this one is, again, standing apart. It's not so much in a little in conflict with a few things, but again, pre-Crisis, you could just argue the timeline shifted. But I want to see how this plays into the bigger picture next season.
Yeah.
You know, I thought not having any of the Supergirl cast show up here, again, understandable from a logistics point of view, but to not get the name drops, because even before Superman had been cast, Clark was a factor in Supergirl.
Yeah.
You know, the text messages, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping for a little of that here. The treatment of the boys, do they have powers, do they not, I thought was interesting. And I don't see them going down the path that they went with Black Lightning, where first episode set up Black Lightning, next season set up one of the daughters, next season set up the other daughter kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Because Jordan's kind of sort of got powers, Jonathan doesn't seem to. I don't know where they're going to go with that moving forward, but I don't expect it to become Team Superman with those characters, at least.
No, they seem to be going for more of a one child takes after dad more, one child takes after mom more, and each parent is trying to figure out how do I relate to the kid that takes after me more versus how do I relate to the one that takes after my spouse more.
As much as this is about superheroics and stuff, it's definitely about family dynamics.
Yeah.
And the relationship shifts that happen throughout the season and all of that, I thought were well played out. You know, when the kids find out Clark is Superman and stuff like that,
it was
fun. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm kind of expecting next season, just like we had this season with Jonathan, Jordan, and I'm blanking on Lana's daughter's name.
Sarah.
I expect those three to be, you know, a continued storyline and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a character that I think will get added to that mix based on what we saw near the end.
Jonathan seems to be getting a girlfriend.
That's not the character, actually, I was thinking. I don't want to spoil in case people haven't seen.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I expect to see, again, the dual layers of adults versus kids type stuff. And I'm curious what other Superman family characters they start pulling into the mix. I mean, do we get Crypto? You know, do we get a Superboy? Do we get mention of the Legion of Superheroes? You know, which again, some of these, like the Legion, definitely been used over in Supergirl. But there's a lot to be played with here.
I'm curious about Lois's dad, how much he'll be in next season.
Yeah, Dylan Walsh as General Lane, I thought did a really good job because he was, I don't want to say the antagonist at times, but definitely not seeing eye to eye, particularly with Lois, for quite a bit of it.
Well, frequently he felt he was between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Between duty to country and family.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think he played that well.
Yeah. And for the first time in his life, he recognized, you know what? I should be putting family first.
Yeah. I'm curious how he's used next season, because I think there's a lot they could and should do with that character.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely will be a status quo change for him. And I think that'll directly impact the Kent family and such. But I would be sad if he had a diminished role in the season.
I can see him being switched from having been a general to becoming basically a military consultant who's kind of their liaison to Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of the military recognizing he's the one who had the rapport with Superman. He's the one who had...
He has the relationship. He's not on active duty, but...
Yeah, but he's kind of the best person to still be...
He's still the intermediary between the government and Superman. It's just instead of being on the government's side, he's now Superman's kind of agent to a degree.
Yeah, or handler.
Handler or whatever. But on Superman's, the allegiance has shifted.
Yeah.
Not that the intent or outcome will change. I definitely can see that, and I think that would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, and there were definitely times this season where Lois was basically asking him to do that. To have his allegiance be on the side of family.
Mm-hmm. Well, but he also made a couple of serious missteps with the boys.
Yes. Yes.
At times. And
well, one that leaps to mind is when the boys had first found out that Dad was Superman. And he sits them down for a, well, now that you know, conversation. And his approach was, you have to realize you come second to the rest of the world.
Yep. You now have a responsibility sort of a thing. And that the scene with General Lane and Lois, when she finds out about that.
Yes.
I mean, just some great stuff. And again, they've got some really good actors and stuff on this.
Yeah. I'm very impressed by how the cast did a lot of this.
This is one of my favorite Lois Lanes, I think, out of the different live action versions.
I really liked her at first in probably the pilot, the first two episodes. I thought the character Kyle was kind of a throwaway. He really became more meaningful throughout the season, and his character went through quite the arc.
I was surprised Lana had a husband and kids. I think the writers were surprised she had two kids at times.
Yes.
The younger one just seems to vanish, but Sarah's hanging with the Kent boys, so she sticks around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess for me, when they cast Superman for Supergirl and such, I mean, there was always the chance it could develop into a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
So casting a good Lois, you know, I think was important. I think they did a great job. The two have a good chemistry with each other, both in the Superman and Clark Kent versus, you know, Lois, that whole dynamic thing. But she's also a very believable Lois, a strong individual, believable as an investigative journalist, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And not only just strong will, but able to survive in the orbit of Superman and all the dangers that comes with. And then again, they had just a lot of material for, you know, the entire cast to kind of work with this season.
I think there were times when people could have assumed that the son, Jonathan, was getting the short end of the script. But he wasn't, because he really had more to work with than it looked like. And I really think he did an amazing job as the kid who was manning up, because really he was the one who his whole life got turned upside down. He lost almost everything a teenager values.
He was in a pretty good position in Metropolis, and all of that got overturned when they moved to Smallville.
Well, and he really had every reason to turn into the pissed off teenager. And instead, at every turn, he manned up and was there for his brother.
He was. And I think the dynamic between the two brothers was really well done.
Yeah.
And Jonathan definitely did get the short end of the script a couple of times, because he got broken arm, what, twice?
Yes, at least.
So I'm curious if that's something that will, you know, either become a thing or haunt him later or what. But I was trying to remember if he had made it up to the fortress at some point this season.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it was just Jordan.
Yeah.
So, and they introduced X-Kryptonite, which I don't recall from the comics. Not just, I mean, they had so many variants pre-crisis, who knew? But here, it would allow humans, under certain conditions, to get Kryptonian-like powers.
Well, and in terms of things that get dropped, one of the very few things that, to me, struck out as, wait, that got dropped, was fairly early in the season when Jordan didn't realize he had powers. His heat vision struck some X-Kryptonite that was like in a bonfire or near a bonfire, and that kind of ricocheted into a teenager and gave him powers. And we saw that teenager once or twice later, and then the DOD had that teenager, and it's just kind of, okay, that's over. And we don't find out how the teenager's doing.
Yeah, I think they got busy enough with the actual Kryptonians to not come back to that. But that is something they could touch on next season.
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of there was never a family. Because the people of Smallville were getting increasingly upset with the DOD. But there was never a family that stood up and said, and what about our teenager that you took off to some boarding school without much explanation?
Mm-hmm. We did see, I thought, the mother of that kid at one point.
We saw the mother of the guy from the other town, New Canaan or whatever.
I thought we had gotten Tad or whatever his name was with the super speed stuff at one point. His some family member of his who had mentioned, or maybe it was just the general had mentioned the kid had been sent to boarding school or something.
The general mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
We're referring to it as boarding school.
Right. Part of it is, again, this started back in February. There were the delays. So by the time 15 episodes, which isn't that much, but by the time it played out, a fair amount of time had elapsed.
Well, and honestly, the season finale had so much in it. I was surprised it was only a 42-minute episode.
Mm-hmm. They tend to pack quite a bit into their episodes.
They really do.
You know, and it's interesting because they'll take the time when a scene needs it or a moment needs it, but it never feels like they're belaboring the point or just stalling for time.
Yeah.
Because there have been other shows where you get that leisurely shot as the car is driving into the driveway or, you know, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And here they had a fairly good economy of usage of time and stuff like that. So I think they had an idea of what kind of show they were setting out to do. And the fact that it's kind of that mix of the teen coming of age drama in a standard kind of superhero show. And kind of mashing those together and not being kind of strictly typical of either, I think. It's working.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things they could have done where it could have just been villain of the week or what have you. Now, having resolved kind of the major arc of the season, I'm curious what the next arc is going to be for next season. And certainly they ended on a note where they've got to explain a couple of things.
Yeah.
At the beginning of next season. And I think a lot of that also comes back to, you know, it made sense how John Henry made it from his Earth to this Earth in light of Crisis and whatnot. But was it Crisis? Was it something else? There's other stuff to explain there.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to see more of Metropolis, the Daily Planet type stuff? I mean, they're clearly setting it firmly in Smallville. But I am curious what other, again, classic Superman characters they're gonna pull in.
I want Jimmy to come visit.
There's Jimmy. There's Pete Ross. There's, you know, all manner of potential, you know, people they could bring in. And honestly, while they did a lot of Kryptonian stuff this season, it'd be kind of interesting if they have Brainiac show up just long enough for Superman to get the bottled city of Kandor.
Mm.
And then they can do the occasional, okay, kids, you're going to see part of my world, you know, or even go visit Argo again.
Yeah.
You know, it's at some point, it's time to learn about your Kryptonian heritage has to come up.
Yeah.
So overall, I thought they did a pretty good job with the special effects. Some episodes certainly had no shortage of those, but superhero show, you got to figure that. The one thing I found odd about the costume, and I was really noticing it here at the end, was the chest emblem often is kind of raised a little and visually pops.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it was like it was screen printed almost in the suit, if you know what I mean, with a layer of almost like dust or whatever on top of it.
Yeah.
It didn't pop as much as I would have expected. But it's a well-done outfit and whatnot, so not going to complain. So was there anything you felt they should have done this season and didn't, or did that they shouldn't have?
Well, that's an interesting question. There were one or two times, well, in the finale episode, they did one thing that kind of aggravated me in terms of a, do you remember what you've been doing? In terms of big arrival of character, and we have jaws dropping, but we have one character who at first glance ought to recognize the person who's arrived, and they're just one of the jaws dropped of who is this, instead of whispering to the others, oh my gosh, it's...
I didn't take it so much as a who is it, but what are they doing here now?
But there was the one person who really should have recognized it, whereas three others had heard about this person, but might not have even seen the pictures.
Might not have recognized, yeah, yeah.
And why he wasn't tipping them off on who this is.
I think the context was clear that they'd probably figured it out, but I think that whole thing is going to be one of the big character dynamic shifts of the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not really one I was expecting, but the minute they started doing it, I'm like, this is where they're going with that.
Yeah.
So that did remind me of kind of a technique they used more than once on Supergirl,
mm-hmm.
where they would end with kind of a reveal or an introduction of a character or the hint that one is coming.
Yeah.
So it felt very similar to that. Not in a bad way, but it's better than what they would do at the end of a lot of seasons of Smallville, where every character was in mortal jeopardy because it was contract renegotiation time. It would be fun to see some of the actors from either Smallville or maybe even Lois and Clark or whatnot, and not necessarily even as the same characters.
Mm-hmm.
But getting Michael Rosenbaum to show up as somebody could be fun.
I would love to see him as a real estate developer who's heard there's a lot of property for sale in Smallville for cheap since Morgan Edge pulled out.
Mm. As a would-be future investor of I've heard the story of Smallville and this is something I can back?
Yeah.
That would be funny. That would be funny. Yeah. The other one that would be interesting for that kind of a storyline would be Justin Hartley, who played Oliver Queen in Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's, like I said, a lot they could do with this. And again, they're doing a decent job building up the community of Smallville. I'm curious how many of those peripheral characters and actors we'll see next season.
Yeah.
Hopefully quite a few.
Well, we left Lana and Kyle in a position where I expect to see them, not just their daughter.
Absolutely. Sarah's absolutely going to be, you know, a major member of the story. I expect Lana and Kyle to be equivalent-ish at the adult level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll play as major a character or role as Sarah will, mm-hmm. but they can't just be ignored. They'll be in most episodes. It's just a question of how central to the plot.
Well, and as I recall, it was announced the reporter moved to full-time.
Yeah, yeah, which doesn't surprise me too much.
Well, and it makes sense because Lois just bought half the newspaper.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of need a newspaper when, you know, the two lead characters are reporters.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'd like to see happen is Lois doing kind of a, we're going to do the news, the local news, etc. But what we're going to aim to do is have one column that's worthy of syndication.
Mm-hmm.
And then have other newspapers paying us for the syndicated column and gradually supporting our local newspaper.
Well, and that's where I think, and I don't know what the order of who was writing scripts when was, but one of the episodes we've seen of Supergirl where Catco was kind of like eighth behind other places.
Yeah.
Man, if they just waited a little bit longer, they could have had like coming in at number 10 be the Smallville Gazette.
Yeah, really.
Because the line of that with the small gazettes, you know, we're just barely outdoing them.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see if that character, the other reporter, is just there as kind of a supporting cast for Lois, or if she starts realizing Superman's here a lot more, and
mm-hmm.
if she starts investigating maybe a little more than she should.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I was figuring she would mostly be there as a foil for Lois.
I think so too, but I think there's going to come the point where there is that risk.
Yeah.
And I would expect at some point she will discover the truth and not report on it.
Yeah.
And be okay with that.
We'll have a fresh understanding for Lois's perspective throughout season one, mm-hmm. which she gave her some grief over.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what other cast changes they might do between seasons. It looks like, again, we've got a potential other new person coming into the story, and I would expect to be a regular character.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see if that happens. I'm not sure when the next season starts up, but or how long it'll be given the pandemic and such, but it won't be as long as the gap was between this season of shows and the last for the CW.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty lengthy.
No, but I'm looking forward to season two. I think this was a very solid first season.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was good. I think there's a lot they can build on from this. And I think now that they've got a season under their belt, hopefully they'll start tying it in a bit more with the other shows, both current and past.
Yeah.
Just again, name dropping a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if Kara doesn't come to visit, did she used to babysit the boys?
That'd be funny.
You know, you got to imagine.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.